Ephesians 4, verses 20 to 24. But you have not so learned Christ. For if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We saw in our last studies, in our previous studies, we saw the works of unrighteousness, that the unbeliever is characterized by works of all uncleanness. All uncleanness. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. They're ignorant. They're blind. They're past feeling. And they've given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. What an indictment of the human race. In verses 20 and 21, though, of Ephesians 4, we are told to live our lives quite differently. But you have not so learned Christ. While we are to avoid being like the lost, we're to strive to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Having told us what we should not be, Paul now teaches us what we should be. The lost are motivated by their lust. We ought to be motivated by the Lord. Paul holds Christ up against the backdrop of the sinfulness and wickedness of this lost world, and the contrast could not be greater. That phrase, learned Christ, refers to being saved. As I have already said, when he saved us, he changed us, he made us like himself, and delivered us from being like the world. Fulfilling the lust of the flesh is no longer our creed and our standard of living. Jesus Christ is. He's our example. We're not to allow the flesh and its wicked desires to control us any longer. We're to take Jesus Christ as our example, and we are to walk in holiness and in the newness of life. When a person claims to know Christ as Lord and Savior and still lives like the world, they're either deceiving themselves or they're a liar. The Word of God says in James 4, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." James 4:4. 1 John 2, 3-6, "And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." Speaking of Christ, the law of Christ. "He that says, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that says he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." The born-again believer strives to be like Jesus Christ, discerning the way that he walked from what the Bible teaches and by how the Spirit of God leads from within. This produces a life that is vastly different than the life that he lived in sin. This results in a life that is pleasing to the Father and one that emulates Jesus Christ in the world. It is the fulfillment of Philippians 2:5, which says, "Let this mind be in you, that was also in Christ Jesus." The redeemed are no longer ignorant and trapped in the death and the delusion of sin. The redeemed have heard the voice of Christ. They have been taught his truth. They have been brought out of death into life. They have been placed on a different path. They have been taught. And as a result, they have been changed by the power of God. The Lord not only delivers you from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin. When Christ came to us, he brought with him knowledge and truth. He brought us the truth about God, about himself, about the Spirit, about heaven and hell and sin and salvation and life and death and grace and faith and righteousness and eternity and judgment and the purpose of life, the meaning of life, creation, history, and everything else that matters. We're no longer in the dark, but we now walk in the light. Christ taught us that truth. And his truth has made us free. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. 1 John 5, verse 20. So would it be different from the lost world around us? Would it be discerning and learn all that we can from Jesus Christ? Notice verses 22 to 24 in our text in Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verses 22 and 24. Since we've been changed by the power of God, and since we've been taught the truth about God in Christ, we're to make some active changes in our lives. Consider all the indicatives, all the things we are in Christ. These are the changes. Now, these are the imperatives that we must do. The three actions that Paul mentions in verses 22 to 24. Put off, be renewed, put on. They are statements of fact. We're to put these things on, put off others, be renewed. Each of these statements refer to what the Lord did in us when he saved us. We're reminded of what he did so that we can take every step necessary to ensure that each of these conditions is an active reality in our lives day by day. Let's look at these few words in our text. Verse 22, put off. That you put off concerning your former conduct. You put off means to strip away. It's the image of taking off clothes. The old man is dirty, corrupt, and filthy. He was stripped off when you converted. And we're to make sure that he remains stripped off. Those grave clothes of yours got to come off, brothers and sisters. That old man of sin still remains alive. And well within each of us. You find that spoken of in the book of Romans about the body of death. And that body of death is deceitful and filled with lust and grows even more corrupt. That old body of death that we still have, brother, hanging on, is like a corpse that's rotting in the sun. It grows more vile. And the older you become as a believer, the more vile that you see that body of death still is. As you become closer to the light reveals sin even more and more and more in your life. And if we're not careful, sin will enslave us in old habits and ways of living that the Lord delivered us from when he saved us. The Romans were known to take a murderer and stake him down to the ground. They would then place the body of his victim on top of him, face to face, hand to hand, and foot to foot, as the corpse rotted. Corruption would eat into the murderer and destroy his life. That is the way, brothers and sisters, the flesh operates. Its depravity can eat into our lives. And if it's not kept under control, it will destroy us. We must be decisive each day to reckon or to count the old man dead to sin. Very important verse, Romans 6:11. Reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. You are alive to God through your union with Jesus Christ. All right, so it says that we are to put off. Notice verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The lost sinner has a mind that's given over to vanity or to futility, to sin. The sinner's mind gives itself over to things that are empty of value and results in judgment and hell. The shame of God, though. On the other hand, is to walk with a renewed mind. When the Lord saved us, he made us alive in Christ. Part of that new life involves a renewing of the mind. Our dead minds that were given over to vanity were made alive. We have a new mind, a redeemed mind. When we were unable to think differently, we had been given over to vain thoughts, to vanity. We're to walk each day having our minds now renewed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. Many of you had your mind renewed by the world, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Somebody comes to Christ 50 years old. Their mind has been shaped and formed by this world. It now has to be renewed. The fact that God literally changed our minds when he saved us gives us the ability to live different lives now from the world that's around us. That's why the world thinks that Christians are crazy. Because we're no longer like them. We no longer think like them. We no longer speak like them. The Christian life begins in the mind. When the thinking is changed, the life is changed. When our minds are set on things above and not the things of this world, our lives will follow the direction of our minds. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So important. Reading the Word day after day, meditating on the Word, chewing on the Word, ruminating on the Word over and over, discerning line upon line, precept upon precept. Don't be conformed to this world. Transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we can ever get our minds right, our lives will be right. It is our thinking that either sets us on the right path or puts us on the path to trouble. In the end, everything comes back to how you think about it. If the mind is right, the rest of the life will follow the course set by the mind. The mind of the lost man will lead him or her even further away from God and even deeper in sin. The mind of the believer, though, however, will lead him even closer to God and deeper into holiness and the things of God. We must be decisive and we must take control of the mind. It's not let go and let God. It's God working in you both to will and to do. And now that you are to work out what he's working in you. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You have to renew your mind to the law of Christ, and you will begin to obey the law of Christ. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. See, renewing the mind. You put off your former conduct. Now you're being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And notice verse 24, back in our text of Ephesians 4. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Just as we are to strip off the old man, as we saw in verse 22, that you put off the old man, we are to put on. You don't take off and just stay naked. Now you put on the new man who was created in righteousness and true holiness. Not Pharisaical holiness, true holiness. This new holy man was born in us when we were saved. When he was created. This is the new man. This is the new heart the Lord has given us. When that new man was created, we were given the ability to live lives now that are pleasing to the Lord. When he saved us, he made us new creatures 2 Corinthians 5:17. And this new creature loves the Lord. And he loves the things of God. He desires to serve the Lord. And he's been empowered to walk in the will of the Lord for the glory of God. And our responsibility is to put on this new man. Paul says that the new man, which is after God created. This phrase literally means that the new man was made in the likeness of God. Notice that. Verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. Brothers and sisters, you have a new creation here. People make the a point of, you know, and in the beginning God created Adam and Eve. Yeah, that's true. But he's created someone new. Put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What a statement. When Adam sinned in the garden, he marred the image of God in which he had been created. And he passed his sin on and his warped nature down to all of his offspring. When we're saved, we're recreated in the likeness of God himself. We are, as 2 Peter 1:4 tells us, we are made partakers of the divine nature. And this new man is literally Christ who lives in me. That's what Galatians 2:20 says. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Brothers and sisters, is that true of you? Does Christ live in you? Or are you still dead in your sins and trespasses? We are not yet perfect, but we've been changed. We have been given all that we need to live lives of righteousness and true holiness before the Lord. We must actively yield ourselves to the Spirit of the Lord within us. And by faith, walk every day. We must no longer walk in our old rags, our old grave clothes. We must decisively put off the old man, put on the new man who is made in the likeness of God. Can you not see the illustration, brothers and sisters? The old man, you got a bunch of dirty, filthy, rotten, stinking clothes on. The Lord said, now listen, take those things off, throw them away, throw them in the garbage, get rid of them. Renew your mind, take a bath, take a shower, get all cleaned up. And you have been cleaned up by Christ. You've been washed in the water. And now put on the new man. See the illustration? Old filthy rags, take them off. Take a shower. Christ is the water, washes you clean. Now put on them robes of righteousness, brothers and sisters. You created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The question is this: how are you doing in the business of being different and being decisive? Can you honestly say that you're living a life that is different from the world around you? Do you need help with your mind? Have you neglected the study of the Word? Have you neglected Bible study? Have you neglected the fellowship of the saints? Brothers and sisters, Christianity is 24/7. You're a new creature. Stop pursuing this world. Because I can tell you one thing, when your heart is set on this world and you're a child of God, your life is going to be miserable. Did you ever think that maybe your life is miserable because you're trying to pursue the world and pursue the things of God? You got to put off them old clothes, brothers and sisters. You got to be all in. Can't keep playing with the world. Can't keep straddling the fence. Because if you're walking with the Lord, no matter what the circumstances of your life is, no matter what happens, you will still have joy. I'm not saying you won't have moments of sadness, but you will still have joy because you'll be in fellowship with the Lord. There's nothing like being in fellowship with the Lord. And there's nothing worse than being a Christian, being out of fellowship with the Lord. So I would say today, if you've been playing a game with the Lord, then stop it. Come home. He'll forgive you. Throw down the weapon. Stop the nonsense. Put off the old man. Stop it. Count Romans 6:11 to be true. You got to count that as true, that you're dead to sin. You got to count it as true that you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You got to believe that. You got to put off the old man, put on the new man. There's hope for you. There's help for you. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still in the business of delivering his people, of sustaining his people, of lifting up his people, of forgiving his people, of blessing his people. Christ would say to you today with open arms, come on home. Come on home. And if you'll be listening today and you're not a child of God, you're still giving yourself over to lewdness and uncleanness and greediness and alienated from the life of God, if you're still dead in your sins and trespasses, the gospel is for you too. It's not only for believers. Somehow believers don't think they need the gospel anymore. And the unbeliever thinks, well, I'm too wicked. There's no hope for me. There's hope for you. All ye that are heavy burdened and cast down, come to me, and I'll give you rest. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whosoever will, come. Find eternal life. Wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but he have eternal life. What shall it be, my friend? Shall it be you continue on in your sin and your wickedness, and in the end, sin, hell, death, and damnation? Or is it come to Christ for salvation, for forgiveness, for cleansing, to finally know what the meaning of life is? Solomon said he tried everything. He tried everything, had everything that this world has to offer, and he said it's all vanity. It's all vanity. Apart from Christ, all of life is vanity. Come to Christ today. If you come to Christ already, then walk with Christ. Be renewed in your mind. Put off concerning your former conduct and put on that new man that was created according to God.